Cities worldwide are known for their historic landmarks, but here in ever-changing Los Angeles, we don't always appreciate our history the way some other cities do. But amidst the teardowns and demolition, some gems stand out year after year. Classic places that live in sentimental memory. And there are people and groups that help keep those landmarks alive, that work to polish LA's gems. They're responsible for the preservation of such jewels as downtown LA's historic Clifton's Cafeteria, now lovingly reborn as Clifton's Republic. And they've brought back such storied establishments as the Formosa Cafe, the Idle Hour Bar, and soon, the Tale of the Pup. We salute those who work to keep LA's memories alive and those looking forward to what's next for our city. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. The 1933 Group has put its stamp on a number of L.A. restaurants and bars and is known for its innovative, atmospheric designs of places like Idle Hour Bar in North Hollywood, Highland Park Bowl, and the iconic Formosa Cafe, among many, many, many others. Joining us now is a co-owner of the 1933 Group, Bobby Green, who's also one of its lead designers. Hello, Bobby. Good to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hal. Great to see you.
I'm making a big bet here that the 1933 Group wasn't formed in 1933.
No, it wasn't. But 1933 is the year Prohibition was repealed, which did wonders for our business. So we named our business after that.
That's an interesting backstory. You know, the name is one thing, the mission yet another. And what is the mission of the 1933 Group?
Well, honestly, it's about saving all of the joys and smiles that LA created for its people and its tourism. I grew up in Los Angeles. I came here as a tourist at the age of 10 years old. So for me, Los Angeles was a great, exciting spectacle. You were wowed turning every single corner. LA was built on the film industry. So we had a sense of design and spectacle unlike any other city in America. We, you know, I always say LA had more smiles per mile than any other place in the world. And, you know, we have to save all these precious icons of that era. For instance, imagine driving to Palm Springs and not having a giant pink and green dinosaur on the side of the road. That would be one less smile from a child, one less smile from a family driving to Palm Springs. And we need more than ever, as you know, with $7 gas and traffic back to what it is, we need more smiles and happiness in Los Angeles.
Bobby, we saw a little video there. We saw the Formosa Cafe. I've spent many a night in the Formosa Cafe. Nice place there, remodeled now. You're doing a lot of stuff to sort of recreate unique looks, almost a Disneylandish fantasyland kind of stuff. Talk about that, will you?
Well, honestly, that's what L.A. was really about. It was about a fantasy land because we were building movie sets and entertaining people all around the world. So it was just natural that the hospitality business would carry that over. And a lot of the great architecture we have is because of the automobile. L.A. was built around the automobile. And a lot of these buildings, like the Giant Barrel and a Giant Bulldog, these buildings were created to attract the eye of motorists.
And so was the Tale of the Pup, because the Tale of the Pup was kind of like a hot dog, right? And you had the Brown Derby was a hat.
The Brown Derby was epic. You know, if you went to Philly, you'd go visit Geno's and get a sandwich. Yeah, if you went to Seattle, you'd visit the Sky Needle. Well, if you came to L.A., you would eat in a funky-shaped building. That's the way it was.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions here, though. First of all, the most gratifying part of these renovations for you is what?
The memories of my own memories. You know, I'm not only doing this for my fellow Angelenos, I'm doing this for myself as well. I remember being 10 years old, my first trip to California. I went back home to Oklahoma with two memories. And this is tell you how impactful this is. The Hollywood sign on the side of the mountain and the Tale of the Pup. Those were the two images I took home that were unlike anything I'd seen in my life.
And so when you talk about these projects, number one, what's your favorite? And number two, what's your next?
It evolves. You know, for years and years, my favorite was the Bigfoot Lodge, which was the log cabin bar we built back in 1999. For years, that was my favorite because that was our flagship. But I feel now that that has been trumped by the Formosa, because the Formosa was my stomping grounds of my early 20s, where I cut my teeth on the Hollywood nightlife scene, and also shaped what I became later in life in the hospitality business. So I would say Formosa is the most treasure to my heart, but that may be competed by the hot dog in a couple months.
Yeah, talk about that, because the Tail of the Pup, iconic in Los Angeles.
Very iconic, especially not only from the late 40s, 50s, 60s, but also my era. 1980s was an epic time for the hot dog and the 90s. Lots of celebrities, lots of great sightings, and just a place that you could not help but look at with a big smile on your face.
You know, as a guy who's trying to renovate the past and kind of invigorate it for the future, what's your message to designers here in Los Angeles about the city itself, what the city is all about, and what the city ought to be about in the future?
The city needs to be about itself. We are taking on far too many boring, boxy designs from everywhere else in the country. Many developers are building things that do not fit in the city. The city needs to retain its identity, and our identity is glamour, excitement, fun, and bringing smiles to people driving down the street. And a lot of this new construction is just not doing that.
Let me ask you about the Tail of the Pup. When's that going to open up? Well, what do we have to look forward to there?
We're getting very close. We've been working now for 8-9 months, but we're looking probably end of June, early July. That's the goal.
I've got only a few seconds left, but I have to ask you, are you eyeballing other properties that you can't wait to get your hands on and mess around with and try to make it, you know, bigger and better and greater?
Well, not really. I've kind of tunnel vision with the hot dog, and we'll see what comes up in the future. But I feel like we've definitely saved the best.
All right. Very good. Bobby Green, nice to meet you. Thanks so much for your time, and look forward to some of these projects of yours. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, the downtown landmark is getting a new lease on life. We meet the man who's bringing what was once Clifton's Cafeteria into a whole new era. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. The legendary eatery known as Clifton's opened in 1931 and has stuck around ever since, delighting and making diners feel just wonderful, basically, eating their food, enjoying their environment. But that old school vibe is now evolving into something even more remarkable. And joining us now to talk about that, the owner of Clifton's, now called Clifton's Republic, Andrew Myron. And, you know, when we talk about the environment, we talk about the experience, not just the dining, but the sitting there. You've got a really fascinating place down there.
Yeah, it's one of a kind. It's an extraordinary environment that was one of the original fantasy environments created in a land of fantasy, a land of dreams. And they tapped into it, and it's been here ever since.
Now, you've changed some things, and I guess COVID had a little bit to do with that.
Yes. 2 years of closures, a lot of different restrictions, changes in habits, made it a little interesting for a large venue like ours.
You helmed a big refurbishment back in the middle of the last decade. Now, here we are just a few years later and more changes are coming. What can you tell us about the old Clifton's, the new Clifton's, and all of those sort of things around it?
Well, Clifton's originally was this remarkable environment that was designed to nourish not just the body, but the soul, the imagination, the mind, the spirit. It was created as an escape from what was the Great Depression at the time. And we've decided to go with the spirit of that and continue that, because people do still need an escape, and especially in these times, in this era. And we decided to take that and expand upon it. So whereas it was originally just a cafeteria, that it was located on two floors within the environment, we decided to expand upon it, create a bunch of different fantasy environments and allow people to go and truly escape into a wonderland.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a theme park, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of Six Flags Over Texas, where each part of the park is a different country that governed Texas during its great history. And here you are looking at several different environments in your restaurant environment.
That's pretty much the idea. It's a place that you can go on an adventure and you can explore. It's always been something like that. It was originally inspired by the woods in Northern California. And Clifford Clinton, the original creator of Clifton's, built it based upon his childhood and his fantasy environments where he would go and where he had fond memories with his family. And so he recreated that in downtown Los Angeles and created, again, a forest environment that was sort of a fantasy. And we've decided to take that so that you can continue that adventure.
So let's talk about some of the different parts of this. What we walk in the door, what do we see?
You start with the original historic Clifton's. It's 1932 era, designed by a lot of the people who helped. Actually, were good friends of Walt Disney. You had Welton Beckett, who was the architect, who was a good friend of Walt's. And you can see the original inspiration for Disneyland, because they used to walk through and look at it, apparently, from the 1930s and say, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had this incredible land that was you could walk through like this. So it initially you see the restored original 1930s version of that space.
That's fascinating, the Walt Disney connection, to think about it, because there's a tiki room and there's a this and there's a that, and you have...
We have all of the above. And actually, it's interesting. As part of the project, I got to speak with Diane Disney Miller, fortunately, before she passed away. And we were talking about Clifton's, and she was talking about walking her father, Walt, through the property. And she had lots of fond memories from when she was a child coming here. And one of the things I said is, a lot of people say that Clifton's is very Disney-esque. And she stopped me and said, no, Disney's very Clifton's-esque. And I took that as probably one of the greatest compliments I've ever received.
That's sweet. I want to hear about the bars. I also want to hear about the great big tree in the middle of this place.
Yeah, it was inspired. So originally it was inspired, as I said, by Northern California and the woods where Clifford Clinton was growing up. And I also grew up in Northern California, and I went to Yosemite and I went to Muir Woods, and I was absolutely in love with the redwoods. So I took inspiration from the original and then expanded upon it. So upstairs we have Muir Woods and Yosemite as part of the sort of thematic core of the fantasy environments, and added a large tree that's a central piece, that's actually a performance piece. You have aerialists, and it becomes the sort of focal point of the entire area.
Tell me about the Neverlands.
The Neverlands is creating world-class hospitality and entertainment venues, and we're creating places that aren't just immersive in the digital sense, but they're immersive within the physical bricks and mortar sense. So we're sort of taking the blending of the real and the imagined and bringing them to one space where you can experience both.
As we talked about, you had a little trouble getting through the pandemic, but well, what were some of the obstacles you had to overcome once you kind of got back into the swing of things?
Lots and lots of obstacles. I mean, the big one right now is the labor shortage and shortages of supplies, inflation. We were talking earlier about, you know, $6, $7 gas, and you can imagine that trickling through the entire supply chain. So it's difficult to get things. You know, we're working on a lot of technologies that are these wonderful immersive technologies and cutting edge and unique different ways of incorporating things. But a lot of the equipment's actually on a ship somewhere out in the middle of the Pacific. And so we just can't get it. So it's creating a lot of problems.
Yeah, the supply chain thing is a big problem for an awful lot of people. Get back to the original Clifton's. When we see that today, what does it look like? Does it look like the original, or did you do a little stuff to polish it up?
We polished it up a bit. We went back. There have been sort of restorations over the years. Every between 5 and 9 years, they used to restore Clifton's. You know, Clifford Clinton was a big fan of innovation and creativity. So every time he got a new idea and there was a new innovation and a new invention, he'd love to. So there were layers and layers and layers of restoration on the project. And we had to decide which era was, you know, the primary era of significance and different things that we thought needed to be maintained versus, you know, upgraded. So you see lots and lots of layers, but what you see primarily is the original 1930s version.
Well, here's the significant question, since we're talking this half hour about the past and sliding it into the future. One of the things that really took a hit during the pandemic was cafeteria-style eating. Will we see a cafeteria in Clifton's, an actual go-down-the-line cafeteria buffet?
This is what the biggest question I get from everybody. And the idea, the cafeteria is central to Clifton's. So there will be a cafeteria again. It's going to be slightly different. It's going to fit modern taste. It's going to be a slightly different style, a little bit more like a food hall, but it's still within the cafeteria concept. And it's definitely inspired by the original classic Art Deco cafeteria.
All right.
So that's definitely coming back. Never going to be a Clifton's without it.
All right. Save me some macaroni and cheese and a slice of apple pie. Nice to
and
meet
some
you.
Jello.
Nice to meet you. Thanks so much for being with us. Good luck with your project. Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth. Downtown L.A. has been going through a renaissance, and it can be seen now as a desirable location. But what about the past? And what are they doing to keep building for the future? That coming up next. Downtown Los Angeles has gone through a remarkable transformation in the past few decades, and it continues to evolve. It has grown into a vital residential hub with thriving businesses, restaurants, and galleries. So much to do downtown now. One of the forces behind all of that is an organization you may have never heard of before. It's the Downtown Center Business Improvement District, often referred to as the BID, the Business Improvement District. Nick Griffin is the executive director of the BID here in Los Angeles. And first of all, welcome, Nick. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Hal. Thanks so much.
Well, tell everybody what a BID does and explain to us what it is that your BID is doing.
Sure. Well, a business improvement district, you could think of it as a commercial version of a homeowners association. It is a nonprofit organization that is funded by a property tax assessment in order to provide services above and beyond what the city does. And so we do the lion's share of our budget goes to maintenance, security and maintenance. So we're doing washing the streets, emptying the trash, doing tree trimming, and just being eyes on the street to, you know, make sure everyone's safe, comfortable, giving directions, assistance where needed.
You know, we're looking at the skyline there of downtown Los Angeles, and there was a law that was passed a few decades ago that brought people back into the downtown L.A. area. Tell us about that law.
Hal, you're very knowledgeable about that. That's the Adaptive Reuse Ordinance, which was really the impetus, one of the early impetuses for downtown's growth. It was an ordinance that enabled old office buildings to be converted to residential lofts, and that really created the first wave of new residents in downtown, and was the spark that really, one of the sparks that lit our revitalization. That was in 1999, and concurrent with that, the development of the Staples Center and LA Live was really the key factors that kicked it off to begin with.
And what did the pandemic do? It must put the brakes on some projects.
Sure. I mean, you know, obviously the pandemic hit urban centers across the country, but actually downtown Los Angeles fared fairly well. We have, because of the renaissance over the last 20 years, we now have a residential population that's over 80,000 strong. And those folks really held firm through the pandemic. There was talk of an exodus. It didn't happen. And those residents really pulled the community through. They supported local businesses and kept the lights on downtown. And so we actually fared fairly well. And we are now, the office workers are starting to come back. Most of the retail and resident restaurants have opened back up. We're getting a lot of visitors. Our visitors numbers are back up close to the pre-pandemic levels. So at this point, while it was certainly a challenging time, we're feeling pretty good about where we are and where we're headed.
I was driving downtown just the other day. I was working on a story down there, and I was looking at the cranes, and I was seeing all the things that are going on, and I was thinking about all the development, the one apartment complex after another apartment complex, and I was thinking back to Carol Schatz, and a shout-out to Carol.
Sure.
Carol is the I guess the president emeritus of your organization, but she was decades ago one of the very first, if not the first person downtown that was cheerleading for a renaissance, for a revitalized downtown Los Angeles. I remember back then thinking, what are you talking about? You know, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like, and it's like, what? Well, I drove down the other day and I'm saying she was right.
You hit it, Al, and Carol, we call her the queen of downtown, and she was not just a force to be reckoned with, but a real visionary. And she believed in downtown before anyone else really did. And she was a key player in making it happen, whether it was driving the adaptive reuse ordinance, bringing in new development and investments, and really making it happen in a lot of ways over 20 plus years, both at the Central City Association and as the founder of the Downtown Center Bid.
Also, was she the one, I heard the rumors, but was she the one that got them to make sure the Staples Center faced downtown, the front of it, rather than the other way around, so that people would have to go through downtown to get to Staples Center?
Yeah, she sure did. No, and there are probably 100 more things behind the scenes that she made happen that really made downtown what it is today, including that one.
Yeah. What's coming up in the future? Tell us about what we can see in the crystal ball.
Well, you know, what we're seeing is that there's continuing real demand for residential in downtown. There's a big market for people who want an urban lifestyle. And there's as we all know, there's a huge housing crisis in Los Angeles, and downtown is one of the few places where we can and are building at scale. So we see more of that really not only driving the growth of downtown, but helping to reshape it. Because when you get that kind of mix of residential coupled with what's already the largest population of office workers and office companies in the region, you really get a dynamic mix. And that's where we have retail and residential all supporting that, driven by it. So we're very bullish on both, you know, where the residential is going and where downtown will go because of that, but also the extent to which it's really become a world-class city. We have, you know, more arts and culture, blue chip arts and culture on Grand Avenue than anywhere short of possibly New York. And that's a real important driver for downtown's future as well.
Okay, very good. Well, maybe there needs to be a Carol Schatz Street down there as well, just to sort of honor her work. All right.
There is. There's actually a corner, Carol Schatz's corner, right at Hope and Wilshire.
There you go. Nick Griffin, thanks so much for joining us. Always interesting to talk about the development going on in downtown Los Angeles. And we'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.